over in the book of 2 Kings, chapter number 13. 2 Kings, chapter number 13. If you're willing and able, let's stand this morning to honor the reading of the Word of God found in the book of 2 Kings. I'd like to deal with only two verses. Chapter 13, verse 20 and 21. 2 Kings 13, 20, 21. If you're glad you're saved, say amen. Amen. Brother David, you pray for me this morning before I preach. Verse 13, verse number 20, and Elisha died, and they buried him. And the bands of the Moabites invaded the land at the coming in of the year. And it came to pass, as they were burying a man, that behold, they spied a band of men, and they cast the man into the sepulcher of Elisha. And the man was let down, touched the bones of Elisha, he revived, and stood up on his feet. You may be seated this morning. Notice the Bible says, and it came to pass as they was burying a man, they spied a band of men and they cast the man to the sepulcher of Elisha. And when the man was let down and touched the bones of Elisha, he revived and stood up on his feet. I'm going to preach on this simple subject this morning, on dead yet speaking. Dead yet speaking. Now, there's three things in this text that I'd like to bring across. First of all, you'll see there is a man involved. Secondly, there is a miracle involved. Then lastly, there is a message involved. Let's look at the man, dead yet speaking. The Bible said, and Elisha died. I'm reminded of his days. Elisha came after the great prophet Elijah. And here we see that this man and his days, he was born for a specific time. We all are born for a specific time. There are no accidents that we're all here in this day and this hour. God is a God that works things out in time. And so we see here this man and his days, he was born from a man and a woman, and God raised him up to do great and mighty things, this man, Elisha. Matter of fact, you'll never study many more Bible characters that are more exciting than Elisha and his predecessor, Elijah. But here we see this man and his days. And secondly, we think about his duties. What about Elisha? The Bible said in Elisha died. Could you imagine being in that community and hearing the great prophet had passed across the river? I was reminded in the man and his duties that, you see, Elijah came by, and Elisha raises up on the pages of our Bible, said that he was plowing 12 yokes of oxen. Elijah came by and cast his mantle upon him, and Elisha began to follow him. Aren't you glad for some men that have come by and impact you in your life? And so we see his duties. Elisha was plowing 12 yoke of oxen. Then you remember the great predecessor of Elisha, Elijah. Remember, as Elisha was following him around, and all of a sudden he looked and Elijah was carried up. There was a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and they both were carried up. And Elijah cast down his mantle, and Elisha picked up that mantle of that great man of God. And then the Bible unfolds and it takes us on about Elisha and his duties to the miracle of the widow's oil. Remember, the creditor came. God spoke through Elisha and told her to get empty vessels and go out to the neighbors and borrow oil. And the Bible says she poured that oil and the vessels was filled. She didn't run out of oil, but she run out of vessels. Can I tell you, that's the way we live in this day and hour. And God's still in the oil pouring business, but needs some vessels to put it into. And so then we see that miracle of the widow's oil. And then fourthly, remember, he came up to the Shunammite woman. The Bible says she perceived that he was a man of God. And they, her and her husband took a table and a candlestick and a little bed, fixed a place for Elisha upon the wall of their house. About midday, her son died. Elisha went in and raised her boy back to life. Elisha done great and mighty things. And Brother Jerry, I thought about you last night when I was studying this. Remember when the axe head fell off of the handle? There at the School of Prophets, Elisha was training young preachers. They were chopping wood and that axe head came off. And Elisha cried these great words, "Where fell it?" And he showed him the place. And this is what the Bible said. And the iron did swim. God used Elisha in many great miracles. Then, Brother Mike, we must not forget about old Naaman the leper. He came down to Elisha's house. And Naaman got mad at Elisha. He knocked on the door. Elisha sent out his servant. Naaman become angry at Elisha because Elisha didn't come out. Elisha hollered out of the screen door of the porch. He said, "Go dip in Jordan 7 times. Boy, old Naaman got upset. He thought so much of himself. He said, "What kind of little lowly river of Jordan do?" But the Bible said that he followed that and was obedient. He went down into the Jordan River. The Bible said on the 7th time when Naaman came up, his flesh became as a little child. Oh, when Elisha died, it impacted a great community. It reminds me about this man and his days and his duties. But then thirdly, this man and his death. It tells us something in his death. The Bible said, "It is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment." Even men like Elisha died. He was not able to do like his predecessor did Elijah. As Elijah was called up, he and Enoch were called up. But here Elisha died. It is teaching in our text. It tells us that all die. Let me ask you, are you ready to die this morning? Because we're all going to die. It is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. If you die without Christ in hell, you'll lift your eyes. You'll go before the white throne judgment. You'll be raised out of hell and cast in the lake of fire. That's what my Bible says. But you that are no Christ, we will stand before the Bema seat of Christ. We will give an account of everything we've done in this walk of life. And let me tell you, there's going to be some tears there that day. But boy, when we walk in the gates of heaven, He's going to wipe all the tears away. And so here, this man and his days and his duties and his death, this death, it tells us that we all will die. But then look at verse 20. Not only tells us, but it teaches us. Look what happens. The Bible said, "And when he died, the bands of the Moabites invaded the land at the coming in of the year. No longer did the enemy face the opposition that they'd previously had." One reason that we're facing the things in our country that we're facing. A lot of the old men of God that used to thunder out of the pulpit Sunday after Sunday. God's called them unto heaven. There's not many churches left in this day and this hour that's given the enemy opposition. I mean, they've rubbed shoulders with the world. They're taking the world's policies in and saying it's all right. Let me tell you, honey, if it don't line up with this Bible, it's still not right in this day and in this hour. You'll notice when Elisha died that the enemy came in. May we stand up and give opposition to the devil in this day and this hour. Mom and Daddy's well, let the Holy Ghost stir in our hearts. Not let the devil get our children. We're living a day and an hour with some of the craziest policies that's ever been known unto man. But if this Bible says it's wrong, it's still wrong in this day and this hour. So you'll notice the man, his days, his duties, and his death. His death tells us all die. And his death teaches us that no longer did the enemy face opposition. They came in like a flood. But then secondly, dead yet speaking. Not only in this text do we see the man of the text, but there's a miracle of the text. Did you notice what happened? Let's look at it in verse 21. I want to say, first of all, it's a true miracle. It came to pass as they were burying a man had died now. Behold, they spied a band of men. All the commentators will tell you that this was simply the Moabites that invaded when Elisha died. They looked up and a band of men were coming. They're going to bury this man, and they cast this man into a sepulcher of Elisha. Now, they didn't bury people in the ground in those days. They hewed them out rock sepulchers in the side of a mountain. They would lay the body on a shelf, or they'd lay it in the bottom of the tomb, and they'd roll a stone upon the mouth. And as this man had died, we don't know who he was. I love these silent Bible characters. But as this man died, there was men, his pallbearers was carrying him out to bury, and they looked up and a band of Moabites was coming. And in their haste, they removed this stone and they cast this man, and it happened to be in the sepulcher of Elijah. And boy, look what happens. The Bible said when the man was let down and touched the bones of Elisha, he revived and stood up on his feet. Could you imagine being one of them pallbearers that day? Could you imagine being in that funeral possession? So this miracle is true. You say, preacher, do you really believe that? Oh, I believe it with all of my heart. Now, I believe it was a great fish that swallowed Jonah. I believe by the rod of Moses, God parted the Red Sea. I believe that He rained manna out of heaven for all of His children. Aren't you glad we've got a Bible that is still true in this day and this hour? This is a very unique miracle. Matter of fact, a lot of writers will say this was probably the most profound miracle of Elisha's life. So we see this miracle is true. And then secondly, this miracle is touching. It sort of stirred in my heart. I seen a man up in the mountains a few weeks ago, and he had preached a text before this passage, Brother Adam. And I said, what about those two verses under that? Have you ever preached on that? He said, no, I've never been able to grasp anything off of that. Boy, it's a touching miracle this morning. It makes us focus and think about what had happened. But not only is this miracle true, and not only is it touching, but this miracle is teaching. And so it takes me to my last point. Not only the man and the miracle, but now let's look at the message of this one verse. What are the deep truths that is in this as a message? Well, this message, first of all, it teaches us about reaching. Reaching. You see, Elisha touched others after his death. I wonder how many of us will touch others when we die. He touched others after his death. Can your mind go back right now as your preacher's preaching about the people that is dead yet speaking? The people that is crossed on, but yet they still have something to say. He touched others after His death. This message, it teaches us about reaching. But then secondly, it teaches us about reoccurring. You see, you think about this a moment. Elisha's life became greater after his death. In Hebrews 11 and verse number 4, I marked this. I wanted to read it to you about Abel. Listen. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And here it is. And by it, he being dead, yet speaketh. The message teaches us about reoccurring. His life became greater after his death. I wonder, will your life come back to touch others? It's reoccurring. You say, well, how does that happen? Well, we sing dead men's songs. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound. How great thou art. Sounds like to me there's some folks dead yet speaking. You see, we sing dead men's songs. We read dead men's books. How many books in my closet do I have from writers? Brother Ty came and helped me on a computer this week. How many thousands of books do I have of men that is cross, but yet they are speaking? You see, his life got bigger and broader after he died. What about Christ? There was only a few people knew about him when he went on a cross and died, and on the third day got out of the tomb, but he left us a Bible. Now his life is bigger and greater than it has ever been. May God give us a life that gets bigger when we die than when we live. And can I tell you this morning, you cannot sum up a person's life by what they accomplished here, but it's how they're affecting people after they've crossed the precious river. You see, this message teaches us about reaching. Will we reach anybody by our life? Teaches us about reoccurring. Dead yet speaketh. Then it teaches us not only about reaching and about reoccurring, but it teaches us about redemption. There's a type here. You'll notice by the death of one, life came to another. I'm glad that Christ died for all. Listen to what Paul said. In the book of Romans, he simply said this in the book of Romans chapter 5 and verse number 10. He said, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. See, this message teaches us about redemption. By the death of one, life comes to another. I'm glad Christ died for me, and I'm glad that He touched me and gave me eternal life. Have you ever touched the life of Christ? You remember the woman that had the issue of blood? She reached out and just touched the hem of His garment. And Jesus turned around to her and told her, called her a daughter. This morning I'm going to tell you, by the death of one has brought life to many. I'm glad our Savior hung and died for us. On the third day, He was buried. But that's not the end of the story. He was raised out of that tomb. And now, because of the death of one, life is given to others. It teaches us about redemption. Then back in this text, I'm about done preaching, but I want you to see this truth and I want you to think about it. You see, teaches us about redemption. And then it teaches us about readiness. Look what happens in this text in verse 21. They spied a band of men. They cast the man in the sepulcher of Elisha. When the man was let down and touched the bones of Elisha, he revived and stood up on his feet. Teaches us about readiness. You see, the first thing that he realized, he was facing an enemy. You see, when you're brought to life in Christ, you better believe the devil's not your friend. And soon as you've been raised in newness of life, there is an enemy. The world, the flesh, and the devil. And he'll keep you real busy at all three things. We must realize that life has been brought to us. There is an enemy against us. But I sure am glad I'm on the winning side this morning. And then lastly, watch this. It's something happened that really struck a chord in my heart. Not only does this message teach us about reaching, not only does it teach us about reoccurring, not only does it teach us about redemption and readiness, but lastly, it teaches us about readiness. Are you ready? Are you ready to face the enemy? But look at this last. It teaches us about revival. He said this. He stood up on his feet and he was revived. That's what the church needs in this day and this hour. To stand up on our feet and be revived. This message, it's about redemption and readiness, but it's about revival. Look what Ezekiel said, the last place I go. Ezekiel chapter 37. I got to thinking about him last night as I studied this. The Bible said, the hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of a valley as full of bones, caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said to me, son, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. And again he said unto me, prophesy or preach. Preach unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I'll cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. Now watch verse 7. He said, so I prophesied or I preached that I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. The Bible said in verse number 10, so I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived, and here it is, stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army. This message is about revival. They stood upon their feet. You know, when life is given unto us, it makes one stand upright. If there's ever been a day and an hour when the Lord's church needs to stand up on their feet and be revived and say, Jesus saved, Jesus saves, it is in this day and this hour. You know, as I walked in my study this morning here at the church, I began to think about dead yet speaking. There's been many people that have lived, but yet they're speaking. I think about them. Some of you may think that this is so silly, but you know, Brother Driver and Miss Peggy passed, and they gave me a gift in my study. It's just simply a little iron John Deere tractor. He loved them tractors, and I looked at that tractor this morning, and Brother Driver was still speaking. Brother Lee, I looked in my study, and there was your mama's pan. Remember, she'd bring that with a towel over it. She'd make a potato cobbler. And any visiting preacher would come in, like his brother Daniel was coming next week. She'd bring me that little pan with a dish towel over it. She'd say, now, preacher, you feed that preacher this potato cobbler. I've took it in Applebee's and Ruby Tuesdays and laid it on the table. But you say, what are you saying? Well, when I seen that pan, it's still a speaking. How many songs have people written that it's still speaking? How many lives that God has allowed us to be accessed with that's still speaking to us? Mom and daddies, may we have a life that still speaks to others when we've crossed. Aren't you glad that he touched you one day? The Spirit that was upon Elisha, the Spirit of Christ, is still touching in this day and this hour. Miss Emily, would you come this morning? You know, could you imagine being in this miracle? They cast him in the grave, the sepulcher of Elisha, and he stood up on his feet and he was revived. You may be in a low place this morning, but the Spirit that came upon Elijah and Elisha is the Spirit of Christ. And He still gives that to His children, that we may be revived and stand on our feet. Miss Emily's going to play this morning.